I pray that you would show us the message of these scars that Jesus showed his disciples. May they have the same effect on us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all the people that love God said, amen and amen. You know, scars are often used to identify people. I have one on my right forearm right here. When I was a teenager, I guess I was probably in the 9th or 10th grade, I was doing something in front of the mirror in the bathroom, and I turned around real quick, maybe a noise I heard or something, and I struck my arm on one of those overhead shelves on the wall. At the time, we had these metal shelves, and they had these sharp points on the ends of the shelves. And I hit that about as hard as you could hit a forearm. And I noticed all of a sudden there was something I never saw before in my arm. It was a big hole. And I remember running to my mother. You know, when you're in the 10th grade, you don't really need your mother until you really need your mother. Amen? And she knew exactly what to do. She grabbed my arm. She started squeezing the two points together and putting tape around it and just patching it up until we get to the doctor's. And whenever I went to the doctor, it was always for something like stitches, or I must have gone to the family doctor about once a year for something. And this was no exception. I got about 8 stitches in my arm. And, I guess boys are like that. They usually have stitches for something or other. Any of you guys get stitches? Let me see your hand. I'm not alone, am I? Any of you ladies get stitches growing up? Okay, just a couple of you, right? But for boys, I guess we get banged up more than the girls do. I don't know, unless you grew up with boys in your family. But I remember my mom squeezing it, wrapping it tight, and hauling me off to that doctor. And that doctor, we got to know each other pretty well in about a 3-year period. I can recall getting stitches in my lip, going sleigh riding, and my friends jumping on top of the sled. As I'm going down the hill, I got 2 guys on top of me, and then we hit something that doesn't move, and they all land on top of my face, pushing my face into something. And all I can remember was seeing blood. And once again, I wanted my mother. There's something about boys and mothers, you know? Now, when Jared, when he calls home, he never wants to talk to me. He always wants to talk to mother. But it's good that mothers have that relationship, I guess, with their boys. But in any event, scars are a way of identification. And it's used all the time. In the message of tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ gave a view of his scars in the Bible. And it has an amazing effect on the disciples. And verse number 20 says, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Jesus showed them the scars. Up until that point, there was a doubt in their mind as to who just entered the room without knocking. They had assembled in the upper room. They had closed the doors. The world was on the outside. They were hiding in fear over what might take place to them now that their leader was gone and crucified and executed. And without knocking, the Lord just appears in that room. It would have been something to see. And without any other words, he shows them what they wanted to see, the identifying marks of his hands and his side. And the Bible says, then they were glad to see the Lord. Those scars showed them that he was not a ghost. Those scars showed them that he was not an imposter. Those scars showed them that he was the same one that hung on the cross, the same one that they witnessed taking the nails into the hands. Can you hear the sound of that hammer hitting those rusty nails into his hands and into his feet? And what a terrible way to die in those days. Amen? Execution like that is a terrible way to die. But now They realized he was the same one that suffered. And now, because of looking at those scars, he has come forth from the dead. Now he has come forth from the grave. And this proves that all of his claims now were true. Everything he said to them in private was true. Everything he said to them in public was true. Because he literally did come forth from the grave and from the dead. Amen. Just like we sang tonight, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. The Satan thought that he had finally shut the mouth of that preacher. He finally shut the mouth of that person that performed miracles and raised the dead and healed people of sickness and illness and spoke about things concerning God and about things that no one ever spoke of before. We know he was able to tell us things that were never said before because he came from a place that no one's ever been before and come back to talk about it. Amen? The things he talked about were the things of God. And he had truly risen from the dead, and it showed that his resurrected body now was omnipresent, and he's everywhere at the same time. Amen? And he's all-powerful and he's all-knowing. I'm glad that God is all-knowing. I can go to sleep at night because he's got everything under control. Isn't that right? Yeah. Amen? We live in a troubled world. We're living in a time where presidents are coming and going faster than it takes to learn their names. Kingdoms are rising up and revolting against themselves, and civil war seems to be in many countries. Perhaps that is what the Lord meant when he said, "Nation shall rise against nation." Maybe he was talking about civil war within one's country. People rising up against themselves and fighting one another. But because of this identification mark, they knew he was real. They knew he was the living, eternal, reigning Christ. And then the Lord gave them gladness. Aren't you glad the Lord can make you glad? There's a song we teach the children, "He has made me glad. He has made me glad. The Lord in heaven has made me glad." And it proved to them now that there was hope beyond the grave for all men. And that's a wonderful thing to have. Hope beyond the grave, because this life goes so quickly. I can't believe how quickly this life goes by. You know, the older you get, it seems like you think back on the days when you were younger. And when you're younger, you think you've got forever. That there's no end in sight. All you care about is, you know, tomorrow, what are we going to do? But now he shows them his hands and he shows them his side. And he breathes on them and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. He gives them once again the Great Commission and he says, "All power is given in heaven and earth." And he sends them out. And now they remembered the words that he said earlier in his ministry in John chapter 10. If you look there, go back a little ways. John chapter 10 and verse 20. I'm sorry, verse 18. John chapter 10, verse number 18. 17 and 18. 17 says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Amen. He had told them way in advance that he was going to lay down his life of his own accord. And now, in retrospect, they're able to understand what he was telling them. "I have power to lay it down." Probably fresh in their minds is the vivid account of how the soldiers came and arrested him and took him away that evening. And they had probably forgotten his message earlier that he was going to lay down his life. He says, "I have power to lay it down. And then after so long, I have the same power to take it up." And so now they're remembering that this is all in the plan of God for all of us so that we could have eternal life, that he would face death for us. Amen? And when it's your time to go and it's my time to go, we don't go to that door alone, do we? Someone goes with us that has faced that place before, and that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so, now he had all power in heaven and on earth, and now they remembered what he said in John chapter 10, that he had power to lay it down, and he had power to take it up again. In other words, he says, I put it down now, I'm picking it up back up. And now they're convinced that they follow him. They're going to follow him all the days of their life. They're so convinced that it's the Lord. Amen? And you and I, we have the same desire to follow him all the days of our life because he has made himself known to us in a special way that only he can do to individuals. And so the scars convince them. They're meeting in fear. He appears in that upper room. He shows them his new identification marks, those scars in his hands and side. And now there's joy. Now they're happy in spite of all the circumstances around them. I mean, Jerusalem is really in an uproar with this crucifixion. The Sadducees, they're just chopping at the bits to carry this further and to bring persecution to the other believers. But now, in spite of all the circumstances around them, because the Lord is near unto them, they're able to have gladness. Isn't that the way the Christian life is, though? You can be surrounded by problems, but if you turn to the Lord, he will assure you of his presence, and you can still have joy in the midst of trouble. You can still have joy in the midst of sadness. And the scars convinced them as they looked. Now they were convinced that he is the same one that they followed for 3.5 years. He's the same one that was put to that terrible public death. So the scars were a convincing message. They were also a comforting message in John chapter 20 and verse number 20. They were glad when they saw the Lord. That is the result of his showing them the marks. They were glad. His proof brought them gladness. You know, there's only gladness in a Christian's life when we take God at his word. Amen? It's faith that brought us into the family of God, and it's faith that causes us to grow in the Christian life. And the scars were proof of the peace that he had bought for them. And Paul writes about that peace in the book of Colossians. If you'd like to turn there, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. The peace that Jesus had paid for all of us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Amen? Paul is saying to the believers at Colossae that at one time you were alienated from God. At one time you were enemies of God. But now, because of his death on the cross, and the peace that he purchased with his blood, now you have peace with God. That's a great, great truth, isn't it? We have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, great peace have they that love thy word, and nothing shall offend them. Those scars were a symbol of the peace treaty now between God and man. And by the blood of the new covenant. And his scars meant that the law was totally fulfilled perfectly. Those scars also meant that all that the prophets said about him were correct and true. Everything that they had said about his coming and his dying were the truth. And so the scars also meant that the law was perfectly fulfilled. I'm glad the Lord kept all the law, aren't you? He didn't offend in one area. Because we can't keep the law. Amen? I hear people say all the time, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, really? Can you name them? Well, let me see. I get maybe half of them. But the Lord Jesus kept all the law. And he fulfilled the law in himself. In John chapter 1 and verse number 17, John speaks about this for a moment. John chapter 1 and verse number 17. Our Bible tells us, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is of the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?' And he said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.'" John the Baptist was the great voice of the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he had said in this chapter that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness. And thank God that Jesus come to this world, live that perfect life. Just like Adam before Adam fell. Adam knew no sin. Can you imagine what it's like to live in a world without sin? Amen? It's going to be a wonderful thing when we see the Lord face to face one day. But the message of the scars also challenged them. Those scars were their guarantee not only of a free and a full salvation, but also of all the blessings that are needed in this life to live for the Lord. And all the graces that are needed in this life to live for the Lord and have a happy life. No wonder they were glad. No wonder you're glad that you've made your peace with the Lord. And you have something to look forward to. And you have his blessings in your life. Where would your life be? Where would my life be tonight if the Lord didn't intervene? Amen? Only by the grace of God would we be here tonight. Some of us might be in prison. Say, not me, Pastor. You don't know what you're capable of. The human nature is capable of anything. Isn't that right? It's only by the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I think one day when we meet the Lord, we're going to find out all the times he helped us overcome temptation. We're going to find out all the times he kept us out of trouble. Amen? Where he went before us and made a different way for us to go so that we wouldn't fall. We wouldn't maybe disgrace him or disgrace ourselves. But the message of the scars also challenged the disciples. In chapter 20, verse number 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.'" And so the scars now are a message of a challenge to them. Not only is it a convincing message, not only is it a comforting message, but the scars now are also a message of a challenge. As he looks at them, and as they see the scars in his hands, he challenges them to go out now into all the world and be a witness. "So send I you," he said. You see the scars. You see the evidence of the scars. Now go tell everyone that I am alive. And the scars convince them. Have they convinced you tonight? I hope that you have been convinced by the Lord that he is alive. Amen. And he commissioned them. And he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Well, tonight we need to take a new, fresh look at those scars in his hands. Let's look at those scars in his feet and the scar in his side. And let's be glad because what it means to us, and may we be glad enough to tell others of the hope that lies within us. Amen. Everyone crosses our path for a reason in life. Who has crossed your path recently? Anyone? Anyone that maybe is new to you? It's for a reason. Could very well be it's the person the Lord wants you to speak to about Him. Amen? You have the answer to their joy and happiness. Pray for them. Pray for the opportunity and then go and speak to them. But let's be glad because of what those scars mean to us, that He has purchased our own peace. And our Lord still, He longs to reveal Himself to people that will draw near to Him in faith. Sometimes people go through very hard times. And sometimes, humanly speaking, we say, I wonder what's the reason of all that. But you know what? If it causes someone to cry out to God, 100 times over, it's worth it in this life and in the next life. And sometimes new Christians have to learn the importance of talking to God every day, not just when the emergency bell rings. Amen? Oh, a number of people come to Christ during a crisis and then they go try to go back to their old way of life and the Lord gives them a wake-up call and reminds them, you know what? You invited me in your life. I'm here to restore order. You want a disorder, but I want order. And He starts making, we say, rearranging the furniture in our life. Amen? That's what He did in my life. I accepted the Lord. I didn't follow Him for maybe a year. And He started rearranging the furniture. I mean, He just took the rug out from underneath Linda and myself. Everything we trusted in, He just took out of the way, clear out of the way, until we were willing to look up. Yeah. And that's when the peace came. That's when the joy came. That's when the guidance came. As long as we were in control of our life, the peace was not there, that's for sure. But it was through it all that the Lord led us to our very first church home. But our Lord still longs to reveal Himself to people, especially people that have trouble, people that are going through a hard time. Jesus was saying, God sent me to preach. He sent me to be persecuted in this world. He sent me to suffer. He sent me also to reveal God's will to men. He sent me also to offer pardon and peace. And as He sent me, I'm sending you now. And that is our mission, all of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. His peace is what the world is missing. Amen? All people could have plenty of money and not be happy. People could have fame and fortune and not be happy. Some of the most miserable creatures on God's green earth are people that seemingly have everything else, but they don't have the peace inside. And many of their lives are self-destructive, aren't they? People are just waiting to see, you know, what is going to happen to so-and-so. Their life is out of control. There's no substitute for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen? And that same authority that He said sent me, I have that authority now and I'm sending you. And so as we think about those scars tonight, we think about the scars in His hands and the scar in His feet and the scar in His side, may they not only comfort us but also challenge us this week to live for Him and to share the message of hope to those that are around us. In Revelation chapter 1, in closing, verse number 17, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17 speaks about His return and also about these same scars. In chapter 1, verse 17, and when I saw Him, John said, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And He tells John to write these things down in this book. And towards the end of the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about when the Lord returns to this world and He is going to show them His hands. He's going to show them His feet. He's going to show them His side. And the Bible says, and then will they mourn when they see Him, because they realize who it is that is coming. You know, it seems like you hear a lot of talk about the man from space. Has always been an inquisitive nature of mankind about outer space. Who is the man from space? Well, the man from space has already come. Amen. The Lord God Almighty Himself. But when He comes back, He is going to come back as the Lion of Judah, not as the Lamb of God, but He's going to come back as the ruler of the world with those that have made peace with Him. And so this week, let's think about those scars. Let those scars comfort us. Let those scars challenge us to bring a message of hope to people that are around us. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your love. We thank You for all You endured on the cross to purchase our peace. We thank You that we can read about how the disciples were glad when they saw You, when You identified Yourself unto them and convinced them of who You really were, and they followed You all the days of their life. We thank You, Lord, that we can follow You by faith. You said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And I pray that You would encourage us, Lord, to think about those scars this week in a renewed way that will challenge us to share that message of hope with people around us that are hurting, people around us that are trying to put on a good front, but yet they lack the peace that only You can give. Open doors of opportunity for us this week, we pray, to speak to others about You. And the Lord, for those in our church that have special needs, we ask that You would meet them as only You can. And we'll be sure to give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We have a special fellowship for you in mind downstairs. So you're dismissed. And we'll see you down there. Teachers meeting for a few minutes.